everything in the Bible, of course, is important, but this is of the utmost importance, something that we should have learned a long time ago. I wish I had learned it when I first got saved, but it was right there before me all along, the Word of God, to read it, study it, let God speak to us through His Word. We want to look at the thought this morning, God's perfect will for our lives. Surely all of us would want that. Now, the only problem with having His will, most of the time it doesn't match up to your will and my will. So we have to make a choice, either His way or my way. His way never changes. It's eternal, steadfast, unmovable. It'll cause us always abound in the work of the Lord. Let me illustrate how our will changes. Back when we were young, if you can remember that, some of us, we wanted little sports cars. And when we got those, that was fine at the time. But now, if us older people had one of those, we'd have to have some younger person to go with us to help pull us out of them. See, our will changes. When I first got married, Sandra and I wanted a convertible. Nothing we'd do was got a convertible. Wasn't very long until we got children, and that wasn't too good to have children, no seat belts back in those days, and the back of the car sitting with no seat belt and the top down. So things change. Our will does. God's will never changes. Let's look at the Word of God. Now, there's four things I want to bring their attention this morning. God wants to bring your attention about God's will for our lives. Remember, it never changes. It's always eternal. It'll last forever. I don't like things that change, do you? I don't like the fact that, you know, our health changes, but that's life. But God's things never change. They are eternal. First thing I want to look at this morning is in Romans chapter 12. Let's read that, a couple of verses, and He will give us some indication of what we need to accept in our lives. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God does have a perfect will for the lives of His people. He had that in the beginning when He created Adam and Eve. He created Adam, of course. He created Eve. He had a perfect will for their lives. Satan came in. They were tempted. They were deceived. They fell. And therefore, a life. We were born in that kind of misery, in that atmosphere. We were born dead in trespasses and sin. But then Jesus came. God gave His only begotten Son. And He came, and the perfect will of God is, number one, that salvation be imparted to every soul. That's His will. Let's find some scripture for that. It's not His will that any should perish. God came down to this earth in the form of Jesus. He was full man and full God. He came to do the will of God, to restore that which Adam had given away. But now we have to accept that perfect will. It's what the verse we just read. Accepting that perfect will of God in their life. Let's turn the Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and hold that place. And we want to look, first of all, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and then we'll be going to Timothy. Ephesians 5, let's see what he says here in the 16th and 17th verse. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. More than you and I want to know His will, He wants us to understand His will. But there are steps to that, of course. And the first step is salvation. That is to be imparted to everyone. Now, we want, every one of us want to know His will when it comes, okay, there's a piece of land I want to buy. I can't afford it. Does God want me there? And little things like that, or which job do I take? Young people, you want to know, what person should I marry? And that's all good, and God wants you to know more than you want to know. But the steps to it, we must realize, because before we get to that place in their life, anything, we have to submit to the Lord for salvation. Salvation means that we repent of our sins, we turn to Him, and we accept His will for His life. His will is that we don't go to hell. We must accept that. And so doing, we must turn from our sins, but we can't do that within ourselves. We have to die to ourselves. Is that not Jesus taught in the message that He gave there in those parables that He told? That we ought to die to ourselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, my spirit was doing pretty good as long as it was in the world, but I had to die to that and let God's will be in my life. His will that I would die to myself and accept salvation. And then He came to live in my heart and He was my life. He is now on the throne of my life. And salvation changes everything. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things are become new, not in part, but in whole. That's God's perfect will for our life, salvation. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, He tells us about this perfect salvation that He has wrought on Calvary for all that will accept Him. All that will acknowledge Him, and God is in no way desiring to send anyone to hell. It's not His will that any should perish, but everyone should come to repentance. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, let's read these words together. He tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Would to God you and I wouldn't be slack. Rest assured, He's not slack. Whatever He has promised is steadfast and sure. As some may men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's perfect will for man's life is that all should come to repentance. That must be accepted. That must be adhered to. That must be achieved, and that can only be achieved by us coming the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. Christ Jesus suffered for our sins. He died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. And because He lives, we can live also. We must repent, and that's His will for life. And then, furthermore, He tells us in another place, let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, how God's will for life is that we come to salvation. In the second chapter, verse 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There is this heresy. There is this damnable thing going around. Many Baptist churches teach it, God help, that only a certain few can be saved. Boy, the Scripture doesn't agree with that, does it? God's will is that all should be saved. But God knows who will and who won't, of course. But God died for the sins of the world. So the first thing we have to do to know God's will is to accept His plan for our life, that we would be saved. And we can't do it within ourselves, but He can do it with it. In fact, you can't get saved until you get lost. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for that. He comes to us and shows us that we're lost. And then when we accept that premise and say, yes, you said I was lost. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. The Word of God says I was lost. I need the Savior. And He reveals Himself to us and we bow before Him. And God saves us. Number one. The second thing for life is to be submissive to His plan and His will. Now, salvation is the first part. And we have salvation, and a lot of people want to get saved because they don't want to go to hell. That's a good thing. No man wants to go to hell in his right mind. If he's got a mind, he don't want to go to hell. But see, along the way, there's more to it than that. Because when I accepted Him as my Savior, at the same time, I accepted Him as my Lord. and I must be submissive to his will. Let's read some scripture for that. God doesn't leave us in the dark. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, how he wants us to be submissive to his will, and that will lead us to following him and to yield ourselves to him. And God knows the best for our life. We don't know the best for our life, but the Word of God will teach us that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13 through 15. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. So to be submissive to God's will for our life, we must be submissive to God's ordinances in our life. He has set forth his church upon this rock. Upon myself, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So God has established his church. And in the church, he has rules. We don't have time to get into all that, but we know that. And God says, we do it my way. It's not my way of thinking. It's not yours. It's God's plan for us that we submit ourselves under the authority of God, and we submit ourselves to the teachings of the Holy Spirit of God, and so doing. Now, along the way, there's some suffering that has to take place. Say, how come? Well, let's let God tell us. Because God says to cause us to submit ourselves unto his authority and to the authority of that which we ought to. Sometimes he sends suffering along the way. Let's read about that and look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 1 Peter 3, verse 17. Listen to what he says. For it is better if the will of God be so. And we've already established. He has established that will of God is salvation. The will of God is submission. Now, along that line, if needs be, the scripture says, it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. In other words, one of these days in America, it may be that if we preach the gospel, we stay steadfast, unmovable, that we'll have to suffer more than we do now for the cause of Christ. He said, that's okay. If needs be, to bring, and may I remind you that everywhere in the scripture that we see where Satan has persecuted, where Satan has ridiculed and tried to tear down, it was those steadfast people that grew and multiplied and gained knowledge of the Word of God. So God sends suffering along the way if needs be. Another verse of scripture that will help us in that regard is 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. I know we don't like to talk about suffering, but he does. Because sometimes suffering will lead us to submission. And remember, you can't get to step 3. Number 1, salvation. Number 2, submission. We're talking about the perfect will of God in your life and mine. It doesn't change. It won't change tomorrow. It hasn't changed since history. God's always the same. Now let's read this text together. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He did not say might. He did not say it's possible. All those that are submission to him. Why? Because the world's against Christ. And we're living in a world that is really against Christ in our day. It's been worse back in the dark ages, but it's bad today. Worst it's been in my life and yours. So he tells us very clearly, read this again. Yea, and all that will live godly. So we're saved, number one. Number two, we're in submission to him. And that submission will cause suffering. A lot of people say, well, If I have to suffer, I don't know if I accept salvation. Let's go back a little bit. If you don't accept salvation and submission and aren't willing to suffer, then you're stuck with your will. And remember, you were born with that. And that will within yourself will send you to a devil's hell. And there it's too late, the gnashing of teeth. And there is no return. So we have a choice. We have salvation. It's a good choice to me. Thank God for it. Salvation, submission, along with it goes suffering. And that's okay, because there is no glory without suffering. Christ needs to have suffered. He suffered and bled and died. So don't dread the suffering, because God's will that suffering that he sends, if needs be, he will send it. Accept it gladly, because that suffering will cause you. Peter says that the tribulations and trials coming our way are more precious than gold that perisheth. I didn't understand that as a younger person, but now I do. If it had not been for the suffering God allowed me to go through, I didn't say put upon me, allowed me to go through in my life, and still does, and that's okay. It causes me, leads me to submission. After all, I'm trying to find the perfect will of God for my life. Salvation, I've got that. Submission, that changes according to my will. Now, he won't change his will, but see, I'm still in the flesh, and so are you. Depending upon what day it is and how you feel and circumstances around you, you may have different wants and different wills. Thank God his doesn't change. It's settled forever in heaven. And to get us in submission to his will, it may take suffering. And don't count it such a bad thing. Peter said it's more precious than gold. And most of us would almost dismiss the church service this morning. Not really, but in your mind you like to. If there was a pot of gold out there and you could be the first to it, you might try to sneak out early to get it. And if you shut your eyes, I'd beat you. That's just the way we are. But God's will doesn't change. I'm going for his will, aren't you? His perfect will for my life. Number three, God has a will for our life to be spirit-filled. We're miserable within ourselves, and the things of life are so dull and boring. But oh, if we could only be spirit-filled. Now, it's his will that we're spirit-filled. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and 17. Ephesians 5 and 17. He tells us that we ought to be spirit-filled. And there's nothing better in our life for the enjoyment and the pleasure that to be spirit-filled. God depicts for our life a spirit-filled life. I know it's not easy to do that, because the devil fights and the flesh is weak and Satan sends circumstances, ugly sayings of people, on to try to disrupt. But number three, a spirit-filled life for the children of God is God's will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Redeeming the time, verse 16, we read that before. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the perfect of the will is. And here it is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The previous verse says, understanding what the perfect will of God is. What is it? To be filled with the Spirit. So far, we've seen simplicity. Nothing hard about this. You can remember it. But you got to want to. God's perfect will for our life, for the lives of all people, salvation. After salvation, submission, whatever it takes. Number three, a spirit-filled life. Led by the Spirit. Had you rather be led by the Spirit of God, which is perfect, or by your spirit or the spirit of man? There's only two, don't you see? It's either his will or our will. Our will, dismiss it. Not going to get you anywhere. The will of God for a life is perfect, and to be filled with the Spirit of God. His Spirit leading us. Now, we talked earlier about the personal choices in life, and we didn't talk about much except that changes, does it not, according to your age, according to your health, where you want to live, you know, back in the old days you want to live on, wherever it is, but that changes. God's will doesn't change for a life, and once we are submissive to Him, and once we're spirit-filled for Him, then His will echo in every aspect of our life. He knows we get older. He knows gray hairs come. He knows it's a little harder to get out of the bed in the morning. And to you young people, He knows your ambitions. He knows your desires. And His will for your life will lead you and guide you in every aspect of that life after salvation, after you're submissive, and after you're spirit-filled. Then all these other things come right along with it. Everything. What do I do today? I've got a free day. The Spirit of God will lead you in doing what He wants you to do. You say, I want to go fishing. That's okay. I've had a lot of good times fishing, haven't you? Even when you don't catch anything. But whatever God's, because they're on the lake or on the stream, whatever, God may have some person there that you need to witness to. He knows what you need that day. You and I don't know. We only guess at it. I've used this illustration before, but if you were to be a stranger in their fair town and it would be a foggy night and you didn't have a GPS and you want to go to Hendersonville or Asheville and you've been lost. So you come up on Cane Creek Road there and you hit Highway 25 and there could be a sign there. I'm not sure there is, but it could be called the Asheville Highway or the Hendersonville Highway. If you're going to Hendersonville, it's Hendersonville. Same highway. But all you know, you want to go to Hendersonville. But you've been lost. You don't know if you're coming from the east or the west. You just know you're there. 50% chance you'd be right. If it were me, I'd take the wrong road and be wrong. I've been on the right road before a lot of times, but going in the wrong direction, haven't you? And that's the way life is. But after salvation, if you can learn to be submissive and accept the suffering and yield to the Spirit of God in your life, praise God. Will it be perfect? Will it be always a life of ease? No, but it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank God for His presence. Let's look at one other thing. We'll be closing. Let's look at the sanctification and set apart aspect. Once we're saved and we have yielded to Him, we are in submission to Him. If it takes suffering, that's okay. Once we have come His way and been submissive and allowed the Spirit to lead us and guide us, let's look at the aspect of being sanctified. Now, that's a word a lot of Baptists don't like. All it means is set apart. And just think of it this way. We have a God in heaven that rules and reigns, supreme, holy, holy, holy. And God so loved you and loved me that He says, I want you to be special. I remember when I was in high school, in the 10th grade, I had a biology teacher, and we call him Van Bug because of bugs and biology, right? He was my basketball coach and my baseball coach, and I respected him. He was just teaching 1 year so he could make some money and go back to school to get his doctor's degree. And he was just, I'm not even sure he was saved, hadn't seen him since the 10th grade. But one day in biology, we had 33 children in my class that year. And at the class end, we'd had a test, and best I remember, I made it 88 or 89, and he said, class dismissed, Roy, stay. You know, what have I done? I could go back to the high school today and take you within that far where he took me over to a window that high and was looking out. He said, Roy, you made like an 88, 89. I said, yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? He said, why would you want to be average? He said, you could make 100. He said, not just in this test, but why do you want to go through your life just being average? And he gave me about a 5-minute lecture there on being the best I could be. I respected that man so much. That was the first of the year. I never made less than 100 on any test he gave the rest of the year. I would have sat up all night long. Encouraging word from somebody that might not even have been a Christian. I don't think he was. His parents didn't go to church. But it taught me something in life. Be the best that you can be, especially for God. I've said this before, everyone that wasn't here. You know what average is? Average is the best of the worst. I don't sound too good. Or the worst of the best. I don't sound any better, does it? But with God leading us, a spirit-filled life, and set apart, sanctified for Him, that God would, I appreciate that biology teacher doing that for me. He may have done it for every student in class. I don't know, but he done it for me. He never, the class called anybody else time out and class dismissed, but he did for me. God led him to do it for me. It done me good. And God, when I realized that God loved me so much, He wants to sanctify me and set me apart for Him. Woo, let's look at the scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Oh, God has a will for our life. It's better than anything you and I could ever come up with. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, and to think that the God of this universe has sent the suffering to cause me to be in submission. And if I'm not, there's more suffering on the way. Some of it is man-made. Some suffering He sends my way because I won't submit. Others He knows I won't submit, so He sends ahead. He knows what He's doing. Salvation, submission, along with it, some suffering. And then, thank God, spirit filled. I don't have to make the decisions for tomorrow in my life. The Holy Spirit makes them for me. And then when I consider that He loves me so much, He said, you're special. And I'm not trying to put myself on the pedestal. Every one of His children is special. And He says that ye be sanctified and set apart. And to do that, you have to let some other stuff go. Let's see what they are. Fornication. The devil leads people into sex before marriage, or after marriage with other people. And Satan leads people into destroying their body and letting God in the background. Even saved people could do that. But don't you see, God says He allows us to make those decisions. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to help us take care of those passions. And if you read God's word and honor Him and realize how important it is, that He wants you to be pure and holy in every aspect. The places you go, the things you watch, the music you listen to, the things you read. Set apart how God loved us. He said, hey, you're something special. Don't be like the world. Don't be average. I saved you. You're submitted to my lordship. I'll send the suffering needful to make sure you do that. My spirit controls you if you'll listen. And I have set you apart to be used for the master. Wow, a God that would love us that much. And then once all that happens, then when the decision comes, who to date, who to marry, what job to take, That's just another hour, another step. You've already into it. You already know God sets you apart. He's got a job for you. He's got a will for you. He's got a church for you. See, there's steps to get there. A lot of us won't ignore the other steps. And then when it comes to that crisis, God, who do I marry? Or what job do I take? We haven't been submissive, may not even be saved, not spirit-filled, not under His lordship, not accepting the suffering. When you do, you bitter complain about it. And then you expect God to tell you that little detail. Boy, if you're in the will of God all along, it's already laid out for you. Would you stand? Your head's bowed. Missy, you come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart.